Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Accepting yourself just as you are. With this body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances, the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that will be angry at times and fearful, and that will even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is, how do we relate to that? But when we feel deficient, and when we're aware of that deficiency, there's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. And it gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. To be without anxiety about imperfection. to be numb or uncaring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Tara Brach on Accepting the Self on Monique Rhodes' album. You know, it's always valuable for many of us here that you can take the time to join us on air and to learn more about who we are and what's our purpose here on the planet, and is our purpose to be so, you know, removed from highest principles, from universal values, or is our purpose to be in a place of principle and value that despite even what the collective might be saying, your gut feeling, your gut instincts, your purity, your truth says, I don't think that's where I need to go. And sometimes you can sense like you're alone, but you're not. There are quite many pods of individuals on the planet who are really waking up to deep universal principles and deep truths, which I believe creates a continuation of time. They're contributing to the time of a continued awakening, sort of awakening that we're feeling now on the planet, which is definitely one that's calling all of our attention day to day. You know, after elections of last year, and which I have been a supporter on both sides of the fence. I'm not Democrat, I'm not Republican. I'm a soul, and I want to see us operate from the best of our ability. And I think for many of us who have either migrated here to this country or folks who have, offered some sort of a knowledge of the world in its entirety to some extent, we kind of got a little bit of a cringe. You know, we were kind of sitting at the edge of our seats during the presidential campaign last year, and we were just like, I can't believe we're actually watching this. And some of us, you know, had this naivete that, you know, definitely one person would have won and it turned out that they didn't. But there was just something happening in the atmosphere that was certainly saying, wow, there's a shift happening here. We are moving away from a principle of value, and we're moving into the external value systems of money, of power, of position, of, you know, putting on the front cover of the magazines, you know, a person with wealth or physical beauty is what you aspire to. And we've totally thrown away the values, the virtues, and the principle of our lives here and the purpose of our lives here. So here we are. We've endured a year of anxiety, fear, confusion, doubt, but also an enormous awakening, where a lot of us are feeling like, oh, wow, this is not the energy I'm going to feed. And I'm going to find my tribe, and my tribe and I, we're going to work this thing out, and we're going to silence that voice. Because when I look at the country of America, it's a land that says, come. Give me your poor, give me your broken, give me your hunchback, give me your everything, come. Once you're here, I will offer you an opportunity to find the freedom that you couldn't find from the land that you were in before. So I think the fact that we have built ourselves on such a notion that you come here, you work hard, you play hard too, you find good relationships and companies, you can make a lot of yourself, and I call that the raising of consciousness. There is a light in you, there's a light in me, there's a light in us, when we bring the best of ourselves into whatever we go through. So even in these times that we're witnessing as a nation and globally, I think the best of who we are is coming to light, and that's the opportunity that we've been given. But talking about light, I had the most wonderful time in an interview with my dear brother, Michael Sandler, from Inspire Nation. And we did a television interview while I was in Orlando for the PGA conference, and I just loved him. I remembered even that Antonio and I, we were discussing, I just sent it out on Facebook, one of the purest, authentic, real people I've met. And today I'm going to be delighted to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Michael on the air. But right after we do what we do best here on the American Meditating Radio, and that's to just pause for a little bit, have a moment of reflection, and to just let go of old. And don't change that dial, because Mike and I are going to come together and have a wonderful chit-chat. Take a deep breath. Here's letting go from off the grid into the heart. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful,
pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, welcome back, everyone. That was Letting Go from Off the Grid into the Heart, and hope that it's given you some extra space to be able to receive our wonderful guests that we're about to put on the air. Michael Sandler. Michael says he has the best job in the entire universe. He helps to change people's lives. He's been a coach for over 25 years and a life coach for nearly 20. He's had two near-death experiences which have left him on fire to help others to shine brighter than 1,000 stars. A former professional cyclist and briefly U.S. Olympic Training Center trained athlete who competed in Europe and raced bicycles, speed skates, and triathlons. He's also the best-selling author of College Confidence with ADD, Barefoot Running, which he co-authored along with his wife, Jessica, and Barefoot Walking. And now Michael's the co-host of the Inspire Nation show, which I was pleasantly on last week, one of the top self-help and spirituality shows in the world. He considers this his other greatest job. Today we welcome my sweet brother, Michael Sandler. Hi. I'm so happy to have you on.
Hey.
How
so
are you?
For having me on the show, this is Jenna.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. Where are you located now?
On Emerald Isle, North Carolina.
Okay, good. You're not too far from me, so then I have to come and crash you over there sometime.
You are most welcome here anytime you'd like.
Thank you. Michael, I want my audience to learn a little bit more about how incredible you are, which is what I am saying. You might walk with that incredibleness without even knowing, but, you know, does it really take some of us to have near-death experiences to actually realize that we're here to do good? What was that like? And, you know, very rare we have two near-death experiences. Tell me how it all was unfolding for you and how has it really shaped your life till this moment, briefly.
It's a brilliant question, and before I answer that, I have a mantra now that I approach life with and I challenge others, which is you don't need the near-death experiences. You can get all of the growth and half the pain by putting out that mantra, I would like things in my life to take place kind, gentle, easy, good. May all of the learnings for my highest good and the highest good of all come kind, gentle, easy, good. With that said, I was gifted with a couple. It actually came in a series of three. The first two were NDEs. The third one was a what in the world has happened. Accidents that occurred in my life beginning in 2006 that were maybe necessary for my evolutionary growth because as an endurance athlete, as someone who was very young, push forward, strive. If the door won't open for you, pound your head against it and it'll open. Universe gives us messages to help us shift in our lives, but it does it with increasing frequency or it turns up the volume. And for myself, I wasn't hearing the little niggling. Though I'd been a very long time meditator and I was meditating literally up to moments before my first NDE. But the volume was being increased on the shifts and internal changes I needed to make, and I wasn't heeding them. And so universe came by with a 2x4, actually a couple 2x4s or 3 2x4s over a period of 9 years. And the first 2x4 was I was training to do a world record skate, 4,000 miles, 40 days across the country on inline skates, sponsored by Rollerblade. I'd been a speed skater. And I'm trying to do this to help those with learning disabilities. And I'd done a similar thing, a 40-day solo 5,000-mile bike ride across the country the year before for students and adults with learning disabilities. So this seemed up my alley, but I'd meditated and prayed for safety and guidance in a creek moments before this happened. I just finished a skating session, laced up my skates, said, "Go slow, Michael, it's a Sunday. There'll be tourists out on this bike path in Boulder." And I'd just been listening to Inspiration by Dr. Wayne Dyer, talking about how everything in life happens for a reason. And those words were kind of hanging in my head as I pushed off on my skate, and I rounded a bend, and I wasn't going fast, and yet I saw before me a father visiting Boulder, didn't know where he was. He had stepped out onto a bike path while teaching his baby how to walk.
Wow.
And they stepped out in front of me. And in that moment, I like to share the story. I used to like to share the story and say it was a conscious decision, hit the baby or hit the deck. There's no conscious decision. You're not going to hit the baby. And somehow, like an electrical bolt went through me. I jumped up and backwards, like jumping out of your skin. I don't even know how I did it. And I'm flying through the air, and I'm asking myself, am I still going to be able to do my skate? And I landed with this eternal, dull, concussive, resonant thud. And I had my answer. I exploded my hip, my femur. I had pieces of the bone that were stabbing at the femoral artery, my arm in the process. And I froze for a moment. Like the world stopped. Everything just stopped. And when I opened my eyes, there was no pyrotechnics, there was no tunnel. But when I opened my eyes, everything was completely different. Boy, okay. Dad, okay. You know, fingers and toes and back as they worked. But I was not the same person who left the ground just moments before.
Mm.
I had a beaming ear-to-ear grin. I was so happy. I was so joyous. I was so elated. When the emergency crews came to me, they all had the same question for me. Did you hit your head? Because I had such a huge grin. I had to take my left leg, though. The femoral artery was almost pierced, and something told me to take it and flop it over the right, and that's what saved my life. That and the grace of God. I was meant to survive that. But the Michael who was there moments before was gone, and who came back was kinder, more compassionate, more aware, even though I was on this path of the greater purpose, more heart-centered, in many ways completely different. Now, what's interesting is I got lost in the years after that, and I now sport a titanium femur in the left leg and a titanium a spike through the whole hip, and I was given an inch leg length discrepancy. And my whole journey to healing, that's what I wrote about in a small way in Barefoot Running. I had to connect with the earth in order to be able to walk well again, to jog well again, and then became an ultra-endurance athlete again once I connected to the earth and drew inward. It truly was an introspective, meditative journey going on the inside. But I got lost somewhere along the way. And I remember as we're putting out Barefoot Walking, and it's 7 years later, I was very much in the strive mode again, the get her done, the to heck with flow. I need to, again, bang
my
head.
You need to control it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Sister Jenna. And I found myself out on a book tour that I had no business being on. And everything was going, quote, unquote, wrong. The RV we were supposed to rent had broken down before we even got it. Jessica decided, this just feels wrong, bad omen, not going on tour. I'll coordinate from home. RV broke as soon as I got it. Got the flu a few days later, without electricity a few days later. RV broken into, all electronics stolen. Coordinators for the talk at this national retail chain all laid off before I got to the respective stores that I was going to be speaking at. going on a soft shoulder and having the RV tip onto two wheels, and on it goes. And though at one point where I had had the RV broken into and two accidents trying to get myself to safety, in a sense, the same day, and I had laid down in broken glass in the RV and said, I surrender, I surrender. The next morning I woke up and I still said, I can do this. And so at the end of the day, after I had finally given up on the book tour, Jessica's helping me limp this broken RV. The transmission had literally gone out on it. And we had a week where we had to rent a car. It's the most beautiful week. We got to spend a week in Yellowstone and Glacier National Park when they were repairing the RV so we could return it to the RV center. I had said I completely surrendered, and here I was the day before this second accident, meeting with this San Francisco get-her-done couple who's telling me all the ways that I can do things in the future and how I can flow upstream and how I can make this work. And so the next day I went out on this hike with Jessica when my wife Jessica, we're bringing the RV back. And after swimming in this amazing water hole with 12 feet deep and crystal pristine water because it was frozen, or it had been just frozen snowmelt. It was so incredibly cold. I got out of the creek and put on some leather sandals, and we started to head back to the RV. And at one point I hugged Jessica and told her how much I loved her and how time is just about ready to have kids. And then I crossed a creek crossing in these leather moccasins. And it was a humble little creek crossing. It was sandy. And I got sand on the bottom of my moccasins. And as best as I can tell from a physical realm, I stepped on this angled rock. And again, I've gone flying through the air. And wow. This time I managed to come down on my opposing side, just below the hip, landing on my side on a pyramid-shaped rock.
Wow.
And my leg stopped and my hip didn't. And it was like an artillery shell went off.
I'm feeling it. Like my body is like going, I'm hurting hearing what that must have felt like.
I stopped breathing. It was so painful. And I yelled, I think I yelled before I stopped breathing, I said, oh no, not again. I stopped breathing. And there was a peace. And it, again, I wasn't gifted with the full pyrotechnics. Would have been cool. But I was basically given a choice. And the choice was I can just stop and completely give into this and go away and everything will be fine. Or I can come back and it's going to be the hardest thing I've ever gone through. But I'd gone through it once. But I would have to make a conscious decision. And I had my wife come running back up to me, and I had just told her I wanted to have kids. And I couldn't leave her there. I could not leave her there. And so I had to go to meditation and literally walk myself through this of breathing in light and sending out love. First, there was some profanity as I'm literally yelling at myself to get breathing again, which means there's some air left in there somewhere. I had gone to tunnel vision, I had like a pin dot with the light that I could see, and all systems are shutting down. And I started to breathe in the most brilliant Lake Tahoe sunlight I've ever seen, and breathe in this white light. And send out love. It was a metta-kindness meditation. And breathe in light and send out love. And breathe in light and send out love. And for the next hour because we were just modestly in the backcountry, until help could get to me, I was manually breathing in meditation, stuck in the creek from my waist up. It was a very shallow creek. Trying to move, the shards of bone were stabbing into my thigh. I couldn't move. The body would spasm. The back would spasm. And I would just scream in pain and then go back to my breath. And at one point, I actually got giddy laughing. And I'm singing with Jessica and I think a few bystanders at this point. I think a pro snowboarder was there. People came and went as they're trying to get me help. And I'm singing mm-hmm. I was Jimmy Cliff. See clearly now the rain is gone.
I remember that one, when yeah.
The,
wow.
Oh, so beautiful. When the emergency crews got there, they couldn't find a blood pressure on me. They're panicked. They're freaked out. But at that point, I know I'm going to make it. And God, universe, source, whatever you want to call it, provides. They tried to give me, they can only give me a tiny bit of painkiller. And I'm Mr. No Painkiller. I'm like, give me the works. and so one firefighter is like getting the air out of a needle to inject me. And he spritzes it. And you hear behind me, I've been hit. And it's another firefighter who got morphine in his eye, which at the moment was as bad as it is, and he was fine. It turned out to be the funniest thing in the world. It seemed like a Keystone Cop, like a comedy. And we needed this comedy because they were freaking out, like, are they going to be able to save my life? It took two helicopters to get me out, a miraculous operation, at least five different people's blood to keep me going because I was bleeding out internally. And I was gifted. The doctors were blown away afterwards when they looked at my website and they go, how'd you get the x-rays up so quickly? I'm like, what do you mean? They said, well, we can see the work we did. Turns out I ended up with matching, identical, twin titanium femurs, twin titanium wow. spikes through the hip, identical wire hoops, everything perfectly identical, and no more leg length discrepancy, exactly wow. matching one side to the other. And the doctor said there's absolutely no odds for that. And
should make a movie on this one. It's like almost like a Disney movie with, you know, the drama and the triumph of this little superhero who's going through all this stuff, and then he has to keep believing in himself and his divinity. It's like, it's hard to believe, Michael, that you went through all of that, and then, I mean, and as much as all of that must have been even painful, the rehabilitation in itself is painful. You know, those thoughts that start to emerge in your soul as you're preparing, maybe your cycling days aren't in front of you anymore as such, but then something else starts to come out of you, more your spiritual side starts to come out of you, there's more to you, and here comes Inspire Nation television show. You've been interviewing some of the world's foremost experts. They're brilliant thinkers. That's why I was on your show. And I'm curious to hear what's really been the greatest takeaway for you at this point in your life, when you try to grab all of that experience up to this point, what is it that Michael is so sure of right now?
Probably twofold. It's a brilliant question. And I'd say the importance of dropping into your heart and getting out of your head cannot be overstated. It's ironic because I read almost a book a day, and some of them are quite heady, but it's not about the words. It's not about the technique. It's not about the intellectual jibber-jabber, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, can we drop back into that heart space? Can we get to that stillness or tap into that inner wisdom, frankly, to that love that's inside of each and every one of us? It's also been my biggest challenge in ways. I have managed to drop into that heart space. So I won't go into it for brevity, but I had one more accident the next year, which shattered all the bones around my heart, all the ribs in front of my heart, my collarbone, my scapula, all the ribs behind my heart. It was that trifecta that apparently I needed to get me cracked wide open. My biggest challenge in life is my biggest gift, and it's still one that I face, this super moon. I've been feeling it. It's really weird, which is a self-worth challenge. I can remember being on the couch at 17 or 18 or something. I was recovering from an injury that wasn't as severe as these injuries. And my mom bringing me a magazine clipping of Bill Gates. And at that point, I was wildly successful in whatever I did. And she put this down in front of me, and she goes, why can't you be more like him? 17-year-old kid. And that wiring that we many of us have, and I was certainly gifted with, of being less than, of that you can never be enough, that gift has required that I drop deeper and deeper still into that heart space, and that I not only love myself as completely as I can, and I love myself and cherish myself so deeply now, and I still have that wiring, that still grooves I get to work on, but it has opened up a level of kindness and compassion for everyone and everything, because we are all universally struggling with the same challenges. And I don't care what political party or polka dotted color or anything of anything.
Mm-hmm.
We all need more love. We all come from love. We all are love. And we're all struggling with this.
Yeah, to get back to that self-love and to let go of that, of the languaging that our parents innocently conveyed in us, not knowing the repercussions that they would have in our psyche for generations to come. You know, it's interesting because with the current times that I'm witnessing America going through and the world at large, it's not just here, but whatever's happening here definitely impacts the whole world. There's no secret to that. There's no mystery to that. That's a fact. And I continue to seek within myself a genuine expression of what I believe is the time that we're witnessing, and I believe like there is a reason for us to be going through all of that. And lately I've been looking at the word love and how it's the cure. It's the cure. Even on my office desk, I have a glass desk that has love in all the different languages. So please know my life's agenda is to become an embodiment of that at the end of this cycle. And yet, I find, why is it that nobody hears that? Or even if we're speaking to an audience of 1 million, 2 will walk away and say, yes, I need to be that. And so recently, I've been observing, is there another way I can explain what love really looks like or feels like at a personal level and at a collective level? And just today, Michael, I came up with the realization that perhaps it's the equality in us all carrying our self-esteem or our self-respect. And I was looking at just the times, you know, everyone's trying to find equality with their gender, their race, their religion, their economic status. And I go, everyone's competing still. Everyone's still feeling a little bit less than, you know, because they're attached to their religion or their color of their skin or their gender. And so I was asking God, you know, what is it that we're really seeking to develop here? Because we know we can't be like everyone. We're not going to play the same part as everyone else is playing. And it was like a gentle whisper came from him saying, because everyone wants equality in their self-esteem, in their self-respect. And I started to feel this morning, like as you're saying that if I have self-respect and you have self-respect, we will be loving, right? Will then the energy of love be clearly explained or defined? Will we then be able to accept that love really is the key because I have my self-worth? And I offer you that point of view right now because with the events that we're witnessing in the world today, are you optimistic about the future of our humanity?
It's ironic that you said that because what you can't hear on this microphone was blocked out all sound outside of my studio. Is the house is shaking right now because we are 10, 12, 15 miles from a Marine base, Camp Lejeune, which is practicing artillery explosions right now.
You're kidding. Wow.
And so you're asking me, am I optimistic in the future? And I'm actually wildly optimistic for the future. At the same time, I hear them practicing bombs. And that's actually it. That's what's going on in the world today is that on the surface, we're plunging into darkness, it appears, sort of like plunging into the abyss of our soul so that we can tap into our heart. I am so optimistic that if there's one thing that we are good at as a collective, it's when the going gets tough, we finally shift. For me, it took 3 2x4s. I didn't get it on try one. On try two, I thought I had it, but I still had a ways to go. But we get it, Sister Gemma. And so I look at these things, and I'm not quite, woohoo, look at everything going down. there's a part of me that's going, thank God we're shifting. But I see it coming. There's a reason your show has taken off and your work is so important in the world. There's a reason our show has taken off like it has. A few years ago, it wouldn't have been able to even exist. And it's because we are shifting as a collective. And the more that it appears dark, I think the more that people realize there has to be something more. I have to go on the inside. I have to dive in. Really, what does matter at the end of the day? And it kind of puts the mirror in front of us in the most beautiful way. But we never learn on the couch. It just doesn't happen. It's only for whatever reason that seems to be the school of earth for this current paradigm. And there's greater and better paradigms, I'm sure, to come. Whatever better means, I'm going to put that in quotes because everything's perfect now. But we don't learn on the couch.
No, we're so addicted to tragedy being our greatest teacher. Can I go back to something that you were sharing about your near-death experiences, especially first and second one? And as you were talking about this, I was remembering my first encounter with a God sense of realization up in the mountaintop in Mount Abu at the Brahma Kumaris. And as you said that when you opened your eyes and you just looked at everything, there was a new you, there was a different you that emerged, that was birthed in the same body, in the same name, in the same country. But there was a new you in consciousness. I remembered it was April 14th. I'm on the mountaintop. The trans messenger goes into her experience. And I'm like, oh my God, am I really going to meet the energy of the divine right now? And as I was so filled with fear, the only thing I remembered was a lot of my past experiences were coming in front of me consciously. Of all the naughty things I did before 24, by the way, which is a lot. And then when the energy entered, it was as if that pop, I keep calling it the pop, the awakening. And I'm saying this to you and everyone who's listening in, Michael and I having a really deep conversation about awakening. It was that I came out of that awareness a completely different person. You had it through a near-death experience where it was a physical occurrence through an accident. I had it sitting on a mountaintop with 3,000 folks, but the awareness that I was going to meet God on this mountaintop, and I had a pop. Here's my question to everyone. Think about it. What does it take for us to get that pop? What happens to us for that awakening? Yours was through an accident. Mine was through the conscious choice that I was going to go on this mountaintop. I had no idea I was going to get anything, by the way. It just happened. What is it in us that actually becomes the magic, the mystical anointing, the Excalibur sword that touches you and just goes, I'm ready. I am ready to get back to my self-esteem. I'm ready to get back to love. I'm ready to allow the energy of God to work through me and for the greater good of humanity. What do you think is that mystical thing? Because I'm sure you and I know deeply we could not have planned that to happen. Have you ever given that any thought as to what was happening to us, that we were in such another state, and then that one moment that changed our life forever? And we can go back to sleep, there's no doubt. And for me, I've used a life of discipline that has been consistent for all these years. So I know without my discipline and consistent timetable, I don't know how I can stay awake in a world where I keep bumping into so many sleepy brothers and sisters. So what is it, Mike? Have you given that thought? Like, what is it? What's that magical thing? Or is it that our ego thinking doesn't even need to know how that awakening or that pop actually happens for some of us?
I love that you call it a pop, because mine was kind of a dull concussive thud as all the bones literally popped. So I get it, and I can get that sense. I think there was a priming of the pump. I think there was a wanting, a yearning, a desiring, a knowing there is something more. There is a different way to live. There is something much greater than what I'm doing or how I am existing here.
Yeah.
And there was a readiness. I don't think, I was literally listening to the words, everything in life happens for a reason. Moment. I guess I've meditated for half an hour, so an hour beforehand. But it was repeating in my mind, everything in life happens for a reason. I had been on this path. I had been meditating. And nothing said that the change is all going to come with a 2x4 in a moment, an instant moment of bliss, grace, and pain. But both of us had laid the groundwork for this, for the, if not the experience, but then the understanding, maybe, interpretation of what had just occurred. I'm not sure without that, who knows where I would have been. Once I opened my eyes and I'm the new me, I think I could have been lost and scared and terrified. But something was ready in me, and something was clearly ready in you. There is a, maybe there was a hunger, a yearning on some level, not a conscious level of going, there has to be more, it has to be more, because this was clearly not an ego-driven trip by any stretch. But there was a yearning that I think is
I'll agree
so
with that.
Many of us.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I think you're right. There is a yearning, a hunger, even though we were distracted with whatever it was, career, marriage, children, desires, the games of the world. But, you know, if you were to peer our hearts open and look privately of what really we were interested in, I think it was truth. I think it was definitely that and a deeper needing to know. Well, hey, look, you and I could go on for hours. Look, I've got a time limit here. Tell our listeners, what are you working on next? Any big plans before we close off the show? I mean, I just loved talking with you. We got to have like a part 2 and 3 series, don't you think?
I'd be honored, Sister Jenna, and I couldn't agree more. Inspire Nation, we have our daily show, inspirenationshow.com. We've been working on, we've been on fire with, we want to share all that we know as much as we can in every way that we can. And so we've started Inspire Nation University, and we're going to be putting out program after program of, first one is automatic writing journaling and teaching people how to drop from head into heart and get words on the page for wisdom and guidance. That's going to be coming out in only a few short weeks. And then we're putting program after program out after that. We're doing a weekly live on YouTube and Facebook, which has really challenged me. It's taking listeners' calls, and it's no editing at all. So it's just holding space, talking a little bit, like you beautifully help hold space and how you set the stage at the beginning, and you give us something to think about or to, I don't have the proper word for, heart about, to intuit or feel. You have planted a beautiful seed at the start of each of your shows. And so we're doing that through our YouTube and Facebook Live. And then I'm really challenging myself through what's called a patron campaign. We have this Inspire Nation Backstage Pass. You can find out about it on our website. I'm doing a daily wow, daily words of wisdom, where I'm challenging myself to be raw and to just share from the heart on a daily basis, almost without thought, just no notes, sit down. And I have a feeling you're really good at this. For me, this is a new experience. And to just share from the heart where I'm at on a daily basis and words of wisdom. And what seems so important to me is to share my challenges, joys, excitements, fears, so that it's not a, oh, wow, Michael had this happen, and now he's perfect. I'm not. but I think the greatest lessons and teachings can come as we share, like you said, it takes discipline. It is integration is extremely difficult, and then it's easy to get sucked back into the muck and the mire. And so to share where we are in the process, I think, is the greatest teacher of them all.
Yes, yes. Michael Sandler, thank you so much for your heart, your barefoot walking, your humor, your sweetness, and your kindness. To be continued, huh?
Absolutely.
To be continued.
Thank you.
And give my love to Jessica, and keep on striving for the best, and good luck with your university. I know it's going to be awesome. Many blessings for that in advance.
Woohoo!
Take care.
Oh, I love it.
Much love. Much love. Take care. Bye-bye. So we had a really deep heart-to-heart. I even got off of script in terms of just wanting to just be in a very authentic relationship with Michael Sandler from InspireNationShow.com. And definitely on his YouTube, you can go to YouTube.com, InspireNationShow. And the reason why I just knew it was important for just because we are real. I would say that out of humility. There's a realness about Michael, and I think that's what it invites, is for you to continue to have that real-time experience. And I hope all of you who were listening in, you felt that as well, to just settle, you know, not always trying to run after everything in life, even after your own experiences, but to settle and perhaps allow that base within the soul to come up to that awakening that it's time to be kind, to be peaceful, and as Michael said, to just be love, Well, we can't end the show without our lovely little sister Gita giving us one of her readings. She's got a new hairdo and she's fixing herself up, over 70 years old. She's going off to India and we just can't hold back this little thriving yogi. So, Sister Gita, what do you have for us today?
Laughing is very good for the system. Greetings of peace and just a moment. Each day we should have a few moments to check ourselves. So be careful of what I feed the intellect. I need to know who I am and how I'm made up. Sister Jenna often says to me, Gita, use your intellect. You have an intellect, use it. And so I am, you know, checking my intellect more and more because my experiences when I first came to this organization was one of total joy and bliss and lightness and peace and purity and love and a light stage. Unbelievable, so powerful. Many years after, the question now, as Sister Jenna keeps saying, Gita, use your intellect, is now checking what are the things, what's the grime I'm putting in my intellect that doesn't allow me to shine as I used to. Ever so often I shine, but I want to be able to shine much more often. So, just a moment. Be careful of what you feed the intellect. It is a most satisfying experience to listen to someone whose intellect is clear and sparkling, to observe the rhythm of words, the natural sequence of thoughts, the reasoning power, the authority, and yet the simplicity of language displayed by such an intellect is a joy. The experience is thrilling and refreshing. Is it a natural now? Let's ask it. Is it a natural endowment? If not, is it difficult to acquire or cultivate? Let me explore. The soul is made up of three subtle organs, mind, intellect, impressions. In India, we call it sanskaras. The intellect, like the organs of the body, is not a stagnant mass. It is alive and subject to growth, non-growth, overgrowth, and even pollution and decay. The intellect, then, must be treated with respect and given careful attention. With much concern and care, I exercise muscles, groom my hair, and even guard my teeth against tooth decay. As I am careful about the food with which I nourish my body, so must I watch the nourishment with which I feed the intellect. Do I feed my intellect rubbish? Do I constantly churn nonsense, non-essentials, and obscenities? Such thoughts poison the intellect and make it murky, stagnant, and sluggish. To make my intellect clear, I must constantly create clean, nourishing thoughts. So to remove the grime, to shine, I must create clean, nourishing thoughts. Our original nature is that of peace, purity, love, bliss, and power, full of virtues. How am I today? So I need to pay more attention to my lovely divine intellect. Remove the grime and let's shine. Om Shanti.
Remove the grime and let's shine. So on that note, we have been guided by Michael Sandler of Inspire Nation Show. We want to remove the grime. Let's get into love. From Sister Gita, let's get out of the muck. And from Sister Jenna, just be kind. So if you haven't gotten it today, I don't know what else is going to be needed. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on the air today. Please remember to be kind to one another, but also no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that more and more. Here is MC Yogi, Give Love. I'm dedicating this to Michael today. Take care, everyone.
Hush, little darling, don't you cry. Every little thing's gonna be alright. Don't worry, don't be afraid. Every little thing's gonna be okay. Open up your heart, unlock the cage. You gotta give love away. Give love. Love and love is giving. When we live for love, it gives life meaning. When we live to give love, there's no greater feeling. This feeling of kindness and love's inside us. Nobody can sell this or try to buy this, 'cause love is priceless and it guides us, lifts us up and ignites us. Love can bind us and remind us. Love has no limit, 'cause love is timeless. Hate and fear will try to blind us, but love unites us. Nobody can fight this, 'cause love is righteous and it might just save the whole world from this global. Love with generosity, giving consciously and constantly. When we all give love, there's no stopping. We just open up the door and let your love pour. When you open up to love, you can never be poor, 'cause there's